Wednesday, February 7, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports. We try to do it with a little bit of common sense. We might mix in a tiny bit of sarcasm here or there, and we are happy to have you with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. We are grinding through another work week. Hopefully, we are giving you something to listen to while you are at work or maybe driving to or from work, maybe while you're working out, maybe while you're walking the dog, whatever it might be. Hopefully, we are giving you something to help you get through your week. Hey, if you missed our interview yesterday with orthopedic surgeon Justin Newman, I would encourage you, go back and listen to it. He was extremely interesting, and thanks to all of you that reached out. I heard from a number of listeners yesterday that reached out and said they really enjoyed that interview, thought it was really, really interesting, some of the things that we talked about in his medical career dealing with sports. But I would encourage you, go back and check that out if you did miss it. He was great. I would love to have him back, and he said that he would love to come back at any time and visit us here at the Daily Dose. Hey, if you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com. Like I said, heard from a few of you yesterday. Or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Hey, today on the show, we've got a few things we've got to get to. You know, the 2017 NFL season is now over.
Aww.
Yep, it's done. Goodbye, NFL season. And we have to hand out a few awards commemorating the end of the NFL year. We do have a little breaking news we want to get to today. And as we do every single Wednesday, we have to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
One of the things that we do every single week, we are going to rank something current at that time, put down a ranking on it, and let you know where we think it belongs. Doesn't always make everyone happy when they hear our rankings, but we will try to do a realistic job of getting some power rankings out for you today. A couple things coming out in the world of breaking news, of course. You know, the NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Trade deadline closes. And, you know, we know that there are teams that don't just want to make deals. They need to make deals. And it's on both sides. It's not just one way or the other. It's on both sides. We have buyers and sellers that need to make deals. You have teams like Atlanta, Chicago, the Los Angeles Clippers, maybe even the Los Angeles Lakers or someone like Orlando. Hey, they know their season is over. They want to rebuild their roster, or they want to dump contract money. And that's the bigger thing. They want out from under some of the big contracts that were handed to players. And now they're looking at them and saying, you don't produce this much. Why in the world are we paying you this much? That is a ton of money we are giving you. Maybe someone else would take this contract off our hands. They're looking to deal whoever they can, but usually they're not going to give anything away for free. They have a price, and usually that price is draft picks. On the other side, you have teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Boston Celtics, maybe someone like Detroit or Milwaukee. What about someone like New Orleans or maybe Portland? And they could be looking to come up with a deal that would add another piece to their roster that just might lift them to another level, just might take them to a better place than where they are now. I mean, think about some of these teams. What about someone like Milwaukee? Yes, they have the Greek Freak. They don't have much else. What if they added one more piece? What about someone like New Orleans, who lost DeMarcus Cousins for the season? Could they go add someone, maybe keep them in the thick of the playoff run? We know, looking at Cleveland, they definitely need to go add someone. Cleveland Cavaliers. Wow. Remember, we said a few weeks back that we were going to set a panic date of March 1st for the Cleveland Cavaliers. March 1st is coming quickly. I know. They're going to keep their coach. They're going to keep Tyronn Lue. He's our guy. I know they're going to keep head coach Tyronn Lue, but I'm telling you, that roster isn't getting any better. And at the rate that they're going, Cleveland isn't just in trouble of maybe not going to the finals. Their trouble is a little bit deeper than that. They've got severe problems with that Cleveland Cavaliers squad. They could clearly be looking to add someone. Now, here's the question that I have. And here's the thing that I want to watch as we kind of take a look at this trade deadline coming. Do these teams have a plan? Or are they just kind of hoping for the best? Take someone like the Los Angeles Lakers. They've got a good young core of players. I would assume, though, that they are hoping they could clear a little contract space and maybe take a run at someone like LeBron James, maybe Paul George, to come play in Los Angeles next season. So with that in mind, they may try to move some people prior to the trade deadline to make some room, to clear some space, to have as much money as possible available for someone like that. But what if that doesn't happen? Do they have a backup plan? You remember yesterday, we talked to Justin Newman yesterday, and he discussed how when he goes into surgery, I've got plan A, plan B, all the way to plan F. Do the Lakers have plan B? Do they have plan C? Do they have plan A.1? I mean, do they have any other plans? Or is it just, hey, we're going with this, and if this doesn't work, yeah, I don't really know what we're going to do. I know what you're saying. These guys are super smart. It's their job. They get paid to do this stuff. They know more than you know. They have it all figured out. They know exactly what they're going to do. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they wouldn't do any of this without a plan. But then if they're so smart, how did they end up where they're at? You see what I'm saying? Like, we've got a lot of bad teams in the NBA. They're not all that smart. I'd say you might want to have a plan as you go into this NBA trade deadline. What is it you're planning on doing this year, next year, the year after? Because if you don't have those plans in place, might get yourself in trouble. It's going to be fun to watch, see what happens. I'm hoping that something actually happens this year at the trade deadline. Usually there's a lot of talk, a lot of people acting like they're interested, and then at the very end they go, yeah, nothing happened today. We'll see what happens with the trade deadline tomorrow. Of course, we did have this breaking news last night. New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels announced that he will not be taking the Indianapolis Colts head coaching vacancy and that he is going to return to the Patriots instead. Sounds like in the past 2 days, Patriots owner Robert Kraft has put on a full court press to keep McDaniels with the team that has already lost their defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, to the Detroit Lions. And you know, when I heard this news, it made me think of, like, I guess three theories, okay? Theory number one, McDaniels started getting cold feet about moving his family and Robert Kraft jumped at the chance to keep him. Number two, the Patriots are starting to freak out about losing both coordinators, and Kraft, in desperation, told Josh McDaniels he can be the head coach in waiting after Belichick retires. Or number three, Josh McDaniels was never going to go to the Indianapolis Colts, and the Patriots just wanted to screw the Colts and leave them with nothing. Which of the three do you choose? You know what? Why choose any of them? I'll take all three. McDaniels got cold feet, Kraft promised him the job after old Grumpy Pants retires, and the Patriots hate the Colts. It's win, win, win. Hey, as excited as Philadelphia Eagles fans, well, and New England Patriots haters were on Sunday, there were a few other groups that were not as happy. First and foremost, the viewership numbers say that only about 104 million people watched Super Bowl 52 on Sunday. That's down about 7% from last year. That is the lowest total since 2009, when the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Arizona Cardinals. They only had about 99 million viewers. Now, that's up from then, but that's still down from last year. But here's the question that I have when we hear this, and you hear that numbers are down, TV viewers are down. I mean, what did you expect? You had Nick Foles versus Tom Brady. I mean, it's not exactly Dan Marino versus Joe Montana. But I'll just lob this out there. I know the numbers are down. And I know we keep hearing how people are sick of the NFL, and there's the politics, and there's the head injuries, and all the things we can come up with why people don't like the NFL. But what if it had been Carson Wentz versus Tom Brady? I'm going to go ahead and assume the numbers would have come in pretty solid. They probably would have been a bit higher. The young Carson Wentz, the young and up-and-coming quarterback versus Tom Brady, the veteran who has done it and has won titles. So were these ratings down a little? Yeah, maybe. I'm going to go ahead and assume that the ratings would have been a little bit higher had it been Carson Wentz. Philly just had a very, very complete team, and Nick Foles just doesn't grab your attention like someone like Carson Wentz would have. But I think that does kind of explain why the numbers were down. It just wasn't a real sexy matchup for everyone to get excited about. Secondly, you probably heard that Las Vegas sportsbooks took a hit on Sunday with the Eagles beating the Patriots after more than 54% of bettors placed money on the Eagles to cover the spread. In fact, Williams Hill Sportsbook by itself suffered multi-million dollar losses Sunday with the Eagles' upset victory over the Patriots. And according to WagerTalk.com, three bets alone, three bets worth seven figures each cashed out on Sunday for nearly $5 million. Just those three bets alone. In addition to those three big tickets, the majority of bettors wagered on the right side of the point spread, the money line, and total points scored. Plus, don't forget, Nick Foles was a 50-1 shot to win Super Bowl MVP, and he did it. Kind of crazy. But it looks like Las Vegas really took a bath on this one, didn't they? Man, you don't see that very often. Vegas actually takes a big... Wait a second. Hold on one second. Yeah, Vegas doesn't lose very often. Let's look at this a little more closely. Because this is saying that Vegas lost money, let's see, on the money line, on the point spread, and on the total points, and on Nick Foles, right? Yeah, but remember what I said last week about the prop bets? Remember you could bet on the length of the national anthem, or what color Pink's hair was, or what size Bill Belichick's man bra was, or whatever it might be. Remember those sucker bets? And I told you, stay away from those sucker bets. Those bets are going to cost you money. Those are for the people just coming into Vegas for the weekend and have no idea what they're doing. Remember I said that? Well, it turns out that not everyone listened to the Daily Dose because people still threw money down on those. And while Las Vegas lost some money on the outcome and lost some money on Foles winning the MVP, according to the numbers released by the Nevada Gaming Control, the state's legal sportsbooks still won about $1.1 million. Now, that's the smallest Super Bowl win since 2011 when the Giants beat the Patriots. But understand this, when it comes to sports betting, and we talk about it a little bit here, we even make some picks on Fridays. Understand this, the house wins. The house always wins. They don't build new casinos with all of their losings. Vegas lost a little. Vegas still came out over $1 million ahead. It is very, very rare that Vegas actually loses money. And here's a perfect example. Hey, well, look at us. We lost money. We're just a bunch of suckers. Look at us. We lost money. If you come bet, you could come get money too. Yeah, except that you actually won money. And the only suckers are the people going and thinking they have a chance to win too. Hey, coming back, we need to finish off the 2017 NFL season and hand out a few season end awards. Who do we give our Daily Dose MVP to? Who's going to get Coach of the Year? Who's going to get our Rookie of the Year? We will get to those and much more right after this. Like we always do, we do have to wrap up the 2017 NFL season. You know, we could hand out NFL season awards at the end of the regular season like they do. You know, the regular season finishes and then they hand out their awards to the people. But now when you look back at some of the award winners, like they kind of look foolish, don't they? Like when you look at some of the awards given and then you look at what happened in the postseason, like they don't make a whole lot of sense. So we like to wait until everything is done. Let's finish the entire year. And then, of course, we allow our hindsight to be a full 2020 and not get these things wrong. We want to hand them out to the people that actually deserve it. And, you know, 2017 in the NFL, it was a weird year. We had injuries, tons of injuries. Think of all the players that got hurt this year. Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. I think everybody in the whole Seattle Seahawks defensive backfield. We had a lot of injuries this year. We had last place teams finishing in first place. We had first place teams finishing in last place. We had what was considered to be the toughest division in the league in the AFC West. They barely even got a playoff team in. And when they did, it was Kansas City. And then we had what many thought was the worst division at the start of the season, the NFC South. They got three teams into the postseason. Saw a number of different things happen this year. Houston Texans defensive end J.J. Watt raised a ton of money for hurricane victims. Television numbers went down. Kneelers also went down. And there was talk that maybe the NFL was in decline. People were mad at the NFL. It was political. They were sick of the head injuries. They were sick of these guys kneeling. They were sick of politics. They were sick of Trump talking about the NFL or whatever was going on. Yet in the end, the NFL postseason was, very, very good. We had close finishes. We had dramatic victories. We had great performances. And yes, we also had one kind of awkward kiss between Tom Brady and his child that was uncomfortably long. And you know, when I think back to the 2017 NFL season, that kiss kind of sums it up. Like, it wasn't necessarily a bad NFL season. It's just kind of a weird NFL season. Okay, few awards that we've got to hand out today. Who is the most valuable player in the NFL today? Right now. If you took this player off of their team, that team would drop significantly. A couple people come to mind. Of course, the first thing you're going to think of, the very first player you're going to think of is, like I said, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. I mean, if you take Tom Brady off of the Patriots, what do the Patriots do? Well, they probably win 10 games, maybe 11. And I don't even know who the backup would be, but I'll bet they still win 10 or 11 games. So is he that valuable? I mean, he's valuable, but is he that valuable? I'm not sure. Now, you can sit there and say, hey, if you took Tom Brady off of the Patriots, there's no way they'd still win 10 or 11 games. Well, I mean, all I can go off is facts. And the fact that Tom Brady actually has missed games and they've still won without him, what can you say? I mean, they've done it. We've actually seen it happen. So I can't just put Tom Brady there. I'll tell you who might be the most valuable player. What if we removed some of the silly referees calls that the Patriots do get? That might make a dent. Like, you might actually see a drop off then. Here's a question that I will throw out to you, though. Philadelphia Eagles have a great young quarterback in Carson Wentz, right? He's got a bright future. Looks like he might be a superstar in the making. Can Carson Wentz ever win an MVP now? I mean, we just saw the Eagles win the Super Bowl without him. What more could they possibly do? Now you look at Carson Wentz and say, yeah, no, he's really good, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe he goes out and they just win it anyways. I'm wondering if Carson Wentz will ever win an MVP now. Not sure. I'm actually going to give a winner, and it's not to either one of those guys. And I'm going to give my winner to Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, because let's be real clear. Unlike Brady, if you take Brady off, the Patriots keep winning. When you take Aaron Rodgers out of the lineup, the Green Bay Packers are awful. That is a bad football team without him in the lineup. That is a team that can't even make the playoffs without him in the lineup. Aaron Rodgers, you're my MVP. Who should we give our rookie of the year to this year? Because as I go down, I'm looking at the draft board from last year. Let's take a look at this draft board. Let's see. First pick of the draft, Myles Garrett from Texas A&M, drafted by Cleveland. No, he's not rookie of the year. Okay. Who is the second pick of the draft? The Chicago Bears took quarterback Mitch Trubisky. He obviously not third. The San Francisco 49ers took Solomon Thomas. This isn't going well. Let me look a little further down the list. Rookie of the year. Leonard Fournette with Jacksonville. He was solid. Deshaun Watson would be my rookie of the year, except that he got hurt and we just didn't see him enough. Let's see, go down the list. Second round. No. Let's go down. How about third round? 67th pick out of the University of Tennessee. Yes, winner. New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara. You know, we just talked about all these people in control, these teams in the NBA, and how do they have a plan or whatever. You can say, oh, these guys are really smart and they've got plans. How does Alvin Kamara fall clear to the third round? Doesn't make any sense. Who is our coach of the year? We saw some teams, like we talked about, turn things around this year. Who could be our coach of the year? What about Los Angeles Rams coach Sean McVay? I mean, who expects anything from the Los Angeles Rams ever? They're 9-7. And if they're not 9-7, it's only because they're 8-8. And if they're not 8-8 or 9-7, it's because they're 7-9. We never expect anything from the Rams. Sean McVay turned things around in LA. He's got to be on the list. What about Mike Zimmer, who took the Minnesota Vikings clear to the NFC Championship? Don't forget, the Vikings lost their starting quarterback too. I mean, yes, we all know Sam Bradford came into the season on life support, but they did lose their starting quarterback and they went to the NFC Championship. Or do we give it to New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who just keeps winning and winning and winning, took the Patriots to their 8th Super Bowl in 17 years. Who could we give our coach of the year to? I'm going to give my coach of the year to the guy that beat all them. I'm going to give it to Philly coach Doug Peterson. How gutsy was Peterson in the Super Bowl? Going forward on 4th and goal, okay. I mean, big play, but if nothing else, you put the Patriots in a bad position, so I understand that. Running a direct snap to the running back who reverses it, and then they throw it to your quarterback. Okay, yeah, that's pretty gutsy. No, the going for it on 4th down on like your own 45 late in the game, that's as gutsy as it gets. I mean, Doug Peterson deserves it just for that call alone. And I don't want to say he outcoached Bill Belichick on Sunday, but there were times he outsmarted Bill Belichick on Sunday, for sure. Yeah, we're going to give our coach of the year, no question, Doug Peterson. Okay, offensive player of the year. Hey, Tom Brady threw for over 4,500 yards. Todd Gurley rushed for over 1,300 yards for the Rams. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown had over 1,500 yards receiving and was being mentioned early in the season as maybe an MVP candidate. Who could we give our daily dose offensive player of the year for 2017 to? I have to give it to Tom Brady, don't I? I have to give it to Tom Brady just on the grounds that with the Super Bowl basically being over and the Patriots being backed up inside their own 10 and just like a minute to play, it still wasn't over. Like, we were still looking at this game going, I don't know, he might pull it out. Like, there's a chance. I do have a question, though. I'm just throwing this out there. How many tough plays does Tom Brady make a game? Like, tough plays. Like, plays that you're like, man, I don't know how I pulled that one out. Receivers are pretty easy to throw to. Belichick has this scheme design that lets him throw easy throws. I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, how many tough plays? Because I'll see sometimes Aaron Rodgers having to make a play. He ducks out of a sack. He scrambles to his left. He gets hit from his right. He throws it across his body in between two defenders and gets to a receiver that doesn't even have any business being in the NFL. I'm throwing that out there. Not sure he has that many tough plays to make. Maybe our offensive player of the year should just go to Bill Belichick. Maybe we should do that. Defensive player of the year? I mean, I don't know. Probably give it to Jacksonville Jaguars defensive lineman Calais Campbell. I mean, when you think of what Jacksonville did this year and how good their defense was. Someone like Fletcher Cox with Philadelphia, defensive player of the year, he could easily do. You know what? No. I'm going to go a little different direction. I'm going to go with Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, because no one can shut down an offense, and I mean no one, like Andy Reid can in a playoff game. Oh. Andy Reid, you're our defensive player of the year, no question about that. What about our surprise of the year? There were some big surprises this year. Like we talked about, Los Angeles Rams, huge surprise. Didn't expect anything out of them. They really surprised everyone. What about someone like the Buffalo Bills, who this year come out and make the playoffs for the first time since, I don't know, like Jack Kemp was their quarterback. It's been a while for the Buffalo Bills. They did it this year. And when we looked at the beginning of the season, we all thought that Buffalo was actually just playing to tank and maybe get a better quarterback. Pretty impressive. What about the Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, they're a surprise. Nobody expected them to be here. A lot of people had Philly to finish last in the NFC East. Eagles, big surprise this year. I would say the surprise for me is that Blake Bortles got the Jacksonville Jaguars all the way to the AFC Championship game, and they had a chance to win it. Okay, wait. Let me change that just a tiny bit. I would say that the biggest surprise for me is that the Jacksonville Jaguars somehow got Blake Bortles all the way to the AFC Championship game and almost had a chance to win it. I mean, it's like a small change I made there, but it sounds different, doesn't it? What about the disappointment of the year? Disappointment of the year? Might be the Super Bowl ratings. I don't know. Might be the ratings in general. I would probably give it to the AFC West, though. Think of the AFC West. We're looking at that division like, hey, all four of these teams have a chance to get in. The Chargers, getting better on defense. Phillip Rivers, always at least in it until the end. The Raiders looked like they should be a Super Bowl contender until their defense went away. The Broncos, just 2 years removed from winning the Super Bowl, except they have no quarterback and their team just can't function. And the Kansas City Chiefs, remember, they beat the Patriots to open the year, and they looked like they might be the big dog in the NFL. They were undefeated, what, through 6 games of the season? All went away. The AFC West, definitely our disappointment of the year. What about comeback player of the year? Who would win your comeback player of the year? I mean, Jared Goff out in Los Angeles, we're all looking at Jared Goff going, this kid's a bust. There's just no way. He was way overdrafted. He is not that good. Looks pretty good now, doesn't he? Just had to get the right coaching staff, had to get the right scheme, had to be put in a good system and get a little talent around him. Jared Goff looks pretty good. What about Case Keenum? We all kind of forgot about Case Keenum, didn't we? When Sam Bradford goes down, well, the Vikings are done. No, Case Keenum goes, takes him all the way to the NFC Championship game. Case Keenum could be comeback player of the year, but I mean, who else could we give it to? We've got to give it to Philadelphia Eagles backup quarterback, Nick Foles. Who even thought of Nick Foles this year? Once Carson Wentz went down, the Eagles were done. Hey, it was a nice run. Last couple games, they're getting shut out by like the Raiders and the Cowboys. Nick Foles, no question, our comeback player of the year. Without question. And the Super Bowl he had. And the job he did against Minnesota, and then to do it again in the Super Bowl? No, no question. Nick Foles wins it. Most memorable moment, though, of 2017. Number of things we could throw out there. The Super Bowl, obviously. And Nick Foles and what he did in that game.
Fourth and goal. And they're going to snap it. And it's Trey Burton who throws caught. Foles, touchdown.
The Minnesota miracle and that last second victory against the New Orleans Saints.
Steps into it. Passes.
Phenomenal play there. What about the Steelers versus the Patriots in December?
To the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh! Jesse James! Two plays, they take it the distance.
Previous play will go under review.
They are verifying it upstairs, and there's no doubt it's going to hold up.
Look at James. Now, Smith-Schuster's going to wall off the safety, and James is right in front of him. He's down, but no one touches him, so he's going to get in the end zone. This is going to stand unless he gets touched.
No, he's in. He
he's
never
in
got
for
touched.
Sure.
Yeah.
Referee Tony Corrente.
After reviewing the play, the receiver in the end zone did not survive the ground. It's an incomplete pass.
This is unbelievable.
It'll be Pittsburgh's ball, second down and 10 at the 10-yard line.
When the Steelers had the chance to win the game, but tight end Jesse James, I don't know, he might have fumbled the ball after he ran for a touchdown. And as we all know, in the NFL, it's not enough to score a touchdown. You have to score and then hand the ball to the official, take a bow, sign an autograph, and make sure you complete the catch through the process of signing the autograph. Look, I'm not saying the NFL catch rule is stupid, but I'm thinking of switching over to the XFL if they will have something that makes any semblance of sense as opposed to this current catch rule in the NFL. It is dumb. My winner for the most memorable moment, though, of the 2017 NFL season comes here from Super Bowl 52.
He'll take his spot, puts his spot, number 13. Meanwhile, third down and 5 here. And now you got to flip back here to Danny Amendola, who throws, and it's Brady who can't pull it in.
So, hey, when the greatest athlete of all time drops a pass, that's pretty memorable. Pretty memorable. Hey, coming back, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. The 2017 NFL season is now complete, and we all know who won the big game. But who do we have ranked as the top 5 teams in the NFL for the season? We will have those when we get back. Just a quick reminder, you know you've got to hurry up and get something for Valentine's Day. It is coming very, very quickly. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose for all of the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. February's Loot Crate theme is called Protect, and it features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in your coupon box. You're going to get 10% off of your order and save a little bit of money on that Valentine's Day present. And don't worry, we're not going to tell your Valentine that you skimmed a little bit of money off the present. We'll keep that our little secret. Okay, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Wednesday Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
And I wanted to rank the top 5 NFL teams for the 2017 NFL season. Here's what I based it on. If I put them on a neutral field right now, who would win it? That is what I would base this on. Number 1 on our Hump Day Power Rankings, Yes, we're going to start in order because you already know who number one is, right? Number one, hey, the Philadelphia Eagles, they proved it. In Super Bowl 52, the Philadelphia Eagles had an answer for everything. Here is the question that I have for you. What can't the Philadelphia Eagles do? Oh, that's right. Make an extra point. Okay. But besides that, what can't Philadelphia do? Hey, the Eagles are the top team in the NFL. Number two on our list. Okay. Don't get mad because this probably isn't who you think it is. I don't have the Patriots at number two. I am going to put the New Orleans Saints as the second best team in the league at the end of the season. Yes, I'm ranking them ahead of the New England Patriots. I'm also ranking them ahead of the very Minnesota team that beat them in the postseason by an eyelash at home. On a neutral field, I'm not so sure. And you can say, well, the Patriots beat the Saints in New Orleans this year. Yeah, I understand that. It was at the beginning of the year, and it was back in September. And from that point, it seemed like the New Orleans Saints started to change the way they did business. They started to run the football. They started to eat up clock. They started to hide that defense and put Drew Brees in chances where he can just eat up opposing defenses. I've got the Saints at number two. Number three, I will put the New England Patriots at number three. Why? Because their defense still isn't great. They've run out of wide receivers, and let's never forget the path they took to get to the Super Bowl. They beat the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. Has there ever been an easier route to get to the Super Bowl? No, really, like I'm asking, because I can't come up with one. And I realize, they don't control that. You play who is in front of you. But the Patriots get to play in the AFC East. And then they get to play an extremely soft AFC to get to the Super Bowl. No, it hasn't always been that way every year for the Patriots. I'm not saying that. But it was this year, and that's why I'm going to put them at third. And I'll be honest with you, I had them at fourth. I moved them up. That's also kind of where I have Tom Brady in my rankings of all-time quarterbacks. But that's beside the point. We're not talking about that right now. Number four on my list, I will put the Minnesota Vikings at fourth, although I will say this. I think that they played the worst game of their lives on the biggest stage in Philadelphia. Minnesota's a better team than that. Their defense is better than that, and they were better all year long. Think about what the Vikings did this year. They beat the Saints. They beat the Rams. They beat the Falcons, but they couldn't do it in the biggest game on the biggest stage for them at the time. The good news, if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, about the way that they collapsed in that NFC championship is, you're totally used to it. Number five on our list for our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings, ranking the 2017 top five NFL teams. I'm going to put the Carolina Panthers at number five, and I'm going to put the Panthers at five primarily because of that nasty defense. That defense could keep them in games. Like I said, I basically just looked at this and said, okay, put these teams on a neutral field, how would they do? Hey, the Panthers gave the Saints all they wanted in the playoffs. And on any given Sunday, they are capable of beating anyone in the NFL. And that's why I will put them at number five. Now, also, on any given day, Cam Newton is capable of absolutely stinking up the joint, missing every wide open receiver that he can. And, you know, then running from the press conference afterward in his top hat and culottes. It's just who the Panthers are. But I think the Carolina Panthers are probably right around the fifth toughest team in the NFL. Hey, the 2017 NFL season is now over. We are saying goodbye to it. But the good thing about the NFL is it's not completely over. It's in the news pretty much 365 days of the year. So it might slow down a little. But don't forget, we still have the combine. We still have franchise tags coming. We still have free agency. And the NFL draft will be here before we know it. And you just know that we here at the Daily Dose will probably start looking forward to next season at some point. It's never too early to do that. It is never too early to start talking football, especially during baseball season. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will discuss the latest in sports news. Plus, do you realize that the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea begin this Friday? Well, they do. We just might have a quick preview for you tomorrow on the show. And as usual on Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. You just know, after the Super Bowl, we did have a few crazy overreactions. Have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails, the texts, and the tweets. Like I said, I did hear from a number of you yesterday. It is truly appreciated. If you'd like to contact us, hit us up at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday.